our top story, and we've been looking very closely on the Twitter issue. And the center has issued orders requiring the microblogging site X to act against some accounts and posts with X, led of course by Elon Musk, stressing that it disagrees with these actions and that the posts should not be withheld on grounds of freedom of expression. Joining us in the studio, Pranesh Prakash. He's an independent tech policy researcher. Apar Gupta, lawyer and tech policy expert. Yash Agarwal, the founder and of Public Policy India. Jiten Jain, a cybersecurity expert. And N.S. Napinai, advocate of the Supreme Court and founder of Cyber Sathi. Thank you all very much for being with us. In fact, Apar, let me come to you first. In its statement, X's team has posted a defense of its users' freedom of expression without actually backing it with any new action to protect it. Is this, therefore, when it comes to freedom of speech, in Twitter's estimation, essentially a lost cause?
I think we should be asking questions to the government rather than Twitter at this point in time, because the principal action is a legal order which does come from the government of India. And what's important, I think so, and I'd just like to foreground in this entire debate, is that we do not have a copy of the orders. They're not in front of us, Vishnu. So we cannot assess what are the accounts which have been blocked, why have they been blocked. So the reasons, the legal compliance by itself, either by Twitter, either by the users, it's all up to debate, and we are bereft of any particular. So this lack of transparency, which is quite evident in this entire action, is fairly disturbing. The other thing I just like to add is that there is a noticeable escalation, incremental escalation in these censorship actions when you compare them to the farmer protests as they occurred last time. In fact, there has been a proactive censorship in which, as the talks were going on between the farmers and representatives of the government in Chandigarh, their accounts, at least of three farm leaders, were blocked even before the protests actually began. So it is a form of pre-censorship. And finally, I'd just like to add, entire accounts by themselves have been blocked rather than individual tweets, which has a very different disability in terms of the technical ability of people to operate Twitter, as opposed to specific individual posts which may be indicated as being illegal, which again then backs up the presumption that this is a disproportionate action. So in sum and conclusion, I say that there's a lack of transparency, safeguards, and the questions need to be posed to the government rather than to Twitter. I think Twitter is a private platform. It may be in fault. It may not be at fault, but it's not my government. I did not vote for it, and it does not hold the powers, and thereby I'm not asking it for accountability to which they exercise.
The government has to be asked questions. Jiten Jain, how the larger issue over here is one presumably of law and order versus freedom of speech. Does the lack of transparency, which Apar refers to, essentially make it impossible for people to assess whether this ban or, you know, blocking accounts is justified? Is that at the heart of the problem?
No, Vishnu, I partially agree with my friend Apar that lack of transparency and lack of communication at times and at several times has been leading to mistrust, towards the government by the people. But we have to look at the entire conversation in, the right context. I myself, our organization has given a couple of reports on ISPR's influence operations in India, especially during Delhi riots, where 3,000 accounts were created overnight. They were peddling all fake propaganda during Delhi riots about kidnapping of women, genocides, and, Delhi police killing children, and all those things to instigate anger amongst the society, planting news in right-wing platforms like Muslims have got some weapons, a suicide bomber has been caught in Gokulpuri, putting photos of Afghanistan, Palestine and all. And then in Muslim communities, planting stories like, RSS guys have been getting guns in the ghee canisters and all. And then after the riots escalated next day, those 3,000 handles disappeared. So election interference, interference in India's political atmosphere, interference in India's conversations and difficult events in Indian society now has become the full-time job of ISPR. They are doing it day and night, by creating frictions and divides in Indian society. And Twitter, X, Facebook, social media has become the biggest weapons in that, armory to carry out disinformation and instigation campaigns in India. Now, considering that, obviously, any government, when they come to know about certain handles which are operating out from Pakistan and Rawalpindi, impersonating as Indian people, they are bound to be blocked and action has to be carried out. But what is happening now apart from those handles which are run by hostile intelligence agency, we have seen certain examples where now certain journalist accounts have been blocked, former leaders accounts have been blocked. Now that may be an erroneous action. That may be a presumptive action so that violence does not escalate. It may be, some other intelligence may have been there. But I think the blocking power has to be there. If a person can be taken into preemptive custody during section 144 is imposed, obviously then government is using section 69A. That section also has preemptive power to block certain contests when there is a possibility of violence. And if that was not the case, this was the same Twitter which blocked the sitting US president from Twitter on the same grounds that he might, his tweets might lead to further violence even before the event has happened. So they cannot have a different yardstick for India and a different yardstick for US.
That's an important point.
Now, I agree with Akar. I agree with Apar. You see, now I don't want no intelligence agency in the world during a contemporary action will put out what blocking orders they have given. But I think we could have some sort of understanding and solution that maybe 3 months post the event, or 6 months after the event, they can make the 69A orders or the legal orders of the government public. Now, it will help government in two things. A, it will inspire more confidence in people that accounts which were blocked. See, today, Vishnu, let us be very practical. I'm sure at least 5 million people may have been tweeting in support of farmers. There may be 10,000 journalists, 5 lakh citizens, activists who have been may have been tweeting in support of farmers. Why is government blocking only 100, 200, 500 handles? I'm sure there is some context to those 500 handles.
Okay, I get your point, Jitin. Half a second. Pranish, you've been nodding. Let's keep the strike rotating. I'll come back to you. You are fiercely disagreeing. Go ahead. Why?
A few reasons. One, the government of India cannot ban a book in India unless it puts out a notification. So this idea that somehow censorship orders need to be secret for national security reasons, it just does not pass the smell test. And to give a little bit of context, this kind of censorship happens under Section 69A of the Information Technology Act, and Rule 16 of the rules made under it actually prohibit intermediaries such as X or Twitter from revealing those orders. Now, this specific provision in two different Supreme Court cases, one by implication in the Shreya Single case, where in paragraph 109, the court specifically said that citizens must have the right to challenge any order by the government under 69A. Now, if they aren't made aware of those orders, and let us remember that when a person's account is blocked,
they are made aware of the orders. They don't know the circumstances, but
the government
tells them that they've been blocked.
Twitter tells them that they have been blocked. Yeah. Twitter does not tell us. Okay, and this is where I was emphasizing, where I was going, that under Article 19(1)(a), not only do people have a right to impart information, but they also have a right to seek information. So I am also affected by any order of the government censoring books, even if I haven't written the book. Right. I similarly am also affected by any government order blocking an account, which is disproportionate, as Apar pointed
out. But that's the assumption, isn't it, Pranesh? Freedom of speech, which is what this is all a part of, is an absolute.
Absolutely, right. It's not an absolute.
And therefore,
as Apar pointed out, what you're doing here is not blocking a particular tweet.
You're blocking a full
account.
Yeah, no, I take that point.
And if I could also add a little bit of additional context, looking at a country which has 97 million users at last count, the U.S. of 97 million Twitter users, Twitter there has withheld zero accounts based on 34 accounts specified by the U.S. government as of last count, which was 2021.
So they've ordered the withholding of tweets and not accounts. That's what they're saying.
No, and I'm pointing out the contrast with India. In India, which has 27 million, less than a third of Twitter accounts, more than 7,000 accounts were requested by the Indian government to be withheld, and only 5% compliance. So in most cases which the Indian government requested Twitter, the company does not think that it is in compliance with Indian law.
All right.
Now, we can't independently judge that because
we can't.
Don't know
but just
orders.
Hang on a second. Let me just go back to Jitin over there. I think one of the points that Pranesh made, and I tend to agree with him on this point, is that it's one thing to take down a tweet or block a tweet. It's something to block an entire account. Why shut out an individual? If you have...
Yeah, that is the question. No, that is the question I want to ask Pranesh. Under what provision of US law, under what legal order, under what executive order Donald Trump's account was blocked in US? No, his tweets are not vital. His account was blocked. Under what law?
There's a simple answer. There's a simple answer to that,
second.
Which is not under a law. It was blocked under Twitter's terms of service because the U.S. government did not.
It was blocked under Twitter's terms of service.
The government did not request a blocking of Donald Trump's
account. This is what I'm saying. When Twitter can take an action against the sitting president in the absence of a legal order, court order, executive order, so we do not be talking about the moral standards of the company. Now, number two.
No, but we aren't talking about the moral standards of the country. It's a simple point. It's a simple question. The point that he makes, why shut down an account when you can shut down a tweet? Why shut down an account when you can shut down a tweet? I just want your views on that, Jitin.
No, not possible. Vishnu, I'll give you an example. Suppose if there is a Pakistani account of ISPR which has been running a campaign for Imran Khan for long, suddenly start tweeting out in the favor of farmers and in pro-China and against India, many things. Do you think once you are aware of an account which is run by hostile intelligence agency, you only want to block a tweet and not be held the account in India? Give me that argument. Now, if you know of a terrorist or a spy which is operating for ISI or Indian citizen who is working for them, do you just withhold him in the home?
Okay,
and just
so you have to look at the larger context of the person or the institute.
Last question I want to ask. You look at the Twitter's official emails dump which was released by Elon Musk. Several of Republican Party's accounts were withheld without any executive order, court order, anything. So in India, they don't withhold accounts in the absence of a government order.
They do.
Because our government is requesting officially, we are more in number.
Okay, once the Pranesh disagrees with you, Pranesh, go ahead, yes. They do withhold accounts, yes.
They do withhold accounts. Under the last transparency report published in 2021, I beg your pardon, Twitter said that of the 7,000 plus accounts, 1,600 were withheld under terms of service violations. So on facts, you're just wrong, Mr. Jain.
A sitting member of parliament,
Sukram Singh Yadav's account was blocked in 2021. Was he an ISI operative? Was he a terrorist? And in 2024, just today, before coming on the show, I checked. His account is still blocked. Why? Under what law?
Why has he not gone to a court? Vishnu, let me ask you a question.
No, but irrespective of whether he's gone to a court or not, the account remains blocked, right?
And there's been no case filed against him in any court by the government.
Do you think Rahul Gandhi or political leaders which are stopped from going to a violence hit areas when they are stopped or detained, do you think they are terrorists? No. Sometimes they are just detained to avoid action which may be coming up.
Okay, both of you, hold on a second. I wanted to go across to Edis Gopinath. Jitin, you can't speak. There are others. Hold on. Levi, I'll try and come back to you. Ennis Navinai, Levi, come to you next. Twitter hasn't exactly had a great going in India, in a sense. I mean, there were tweets which were blocked, accounts which were blocked during COVID handling. They ran into the problems with the government when they labeled the tweets of a spokesperson of the BJP in a particular way. The first farmer protests, and now possibly the second farmer protests as well. It's always been a problem for Twitter. I mean, they are in court. There's been no verdict of it. There's a history of run-ins, right? Including people or the enforcement director or others going to their office in Delhi.
True, and it's been interesting to listen to the panelists. So I just wanted to come in on one small point before I address what you put to me, Vishnu. If you look at what is actually happening, it is very reminiscent of a preventive detention order. So you have under the Constitution a provision for preventive detention and arrest subject to certain checks and balances. I think it's now time for the government to evaluate preventive detention of accounts or messages also and put in checks and balances, which includes transparency. And if you look at the transparency process, I'm just trying to draw a parallel between detaining an individual, and we are talking about our most fundamental right of freedom of liberty, right? Life and liberty, as opposed to preventively stopping that, and what can be the grounds for that? So when you look at that, the first and foremost is that it has to be time bound unless it's been reviewed and there is an order with respect to permitting the detention beyond that period of the minimum time. The second is transparency, but the transparency also extends not to informing the public, but only the user who or the person who is detained is to be informed of the grounds of detention and given an opportunity to submit a representation. So when I look at this whole parallel in terms of detaining an individual and taking away their right to life and liberty, not to life but liberty, and you know, restricting the right of freedom of speech and expression, both are fundamental rights and both need to be addressed with deep caution, and we must have laws which will put in checks and balances. This is what the Supreme Court has reiterated often. So when I look at it from that perspective, what comes forth is when certain accounts are being blocked in the midst of a situation which is already a law and order situation. The law and order situation is not a speculation. It has resulted in a loss of life already.
Yes, yes.
So in the midst of that, when you look at this order and what has come out of it, one needs to look at whether this is a preventive measure which is permitted in law and whether these checks and balances, if you draw it as a parallel, have been addressed or not. The law itself, the intermediary guidelines itself, provides for the user to be informed
right.
and for them to be given an opportunity to put up a representation. It does definitely, you know, it feels like things are, turned on its head when you tell a user that you have to prove why you must exercise your fundamental right.
I get that point. Other Yash Agarwal, let me just quickly go to Yash next.
Just complete my point in just 1 second. So on the ground that you're asking a user to prove their right may not seem appropriate, but that the government should exercise transparency whilst taking certain actions, which may be for public good, but that it has to show. It should not only be done, but be seen to be done is the point I was trying to make.
Yash, is it also not true that since Elon Musk took over Twitter, the publication of takedown requests or blocking orders from governments, he stopped himself? So there is a lack of transparency at the level of Twitter, not just at the level of the government.
Vishwan, thank you so much for having me. Just a quick couple of points, right? And I find, having been on the other side within Twitter, right?
Yes.
In a policy role, which I find to be very interesting, which is, firstly, in the 12 months prior to, the acquisition, right, by Mr. Musk, Twitter's rate of compliance in India with government orders was 50% full and 42% partial, I think. So roughly about a 92%, right? Compliance with content orders, takedown or orders that the government of India had issued to Twitter, right? After, Mr. Musk's takeover, right, the acquisition, it came to nearly about 100%. There were just 9 orders for which the results were not published by Twitter, right? But otherwise, it was like a 100%, right? So technically 98.8, I think, right? From the leader data that we have. The point being that, since the new leadership took charge, right, there's been a near complete compliance on behalf of the platform from whatever orders that the government has sent their way in terms of, content, right, takedown. What I find the most interesting is that this time around, the platform has chosen to put its foot up, right? Like in a sense, put its foot down and be like, at least put the tweet out at least, right? To create the sense of awareness, right? Which is very interesting because they have been doing this very quietly with like a near 100% compliance, right? For months now, right? And the other bit, just coming back to the question that you were asking Vishnu, which is, yes, that is true, right? There's this database run by the Berkman Klein Center at Harvard, right? Lumen database, right? When not just Twitter, but Wikipedia, I think YouTube, Google as well, right? They would share, right? Whatever content takedown and modification orders they receive from around the world, right? Across governments, right? And I think that's something that Twitter stopped doing. That's a practice.
Yes, that's something that Twitter has indeed stopped, Yash. But look, I'm out of time on this discussion. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us.